I have a framed piece of art at my house. It was given to Carrie and I almost 30 years ago as a wedding gift, and it has been in our house the entire time. It's beautifully framed in a gold frame with a green mat. It is quite lovely, and the first letters of each word is presented in a floral print. The words read, "Love is patient. Love is kind." It's simple and straightforward. The passage is often the go-to for wedding ceremonies as couples begin their married life together. It serves as a reminder to do good to one another and highlights what love is all about and what love is not. For many Christians, as soon as we hear love is patient, love is kind, they start hearing wedding bells and envision white lace dresses, rental tuxedos, unity candles, and a long list of other things that our culture romanticizes. Now, I'm not criticizing it. It's a perfect scripture for a wedding. The passage is reduced to a platitude about how love is greatest of all. It's not that 1 Corinthians is misused. It's quite well suited, but not for all of its romantic reasons. Last week, we talked about the part of 1 Corinthians immediately preceding this week's passage. It's about spiritual gifts and how God has made each of us with different gifts to be used together. The body parts work together, not against each other. Paul wrote this part of the letter because the Corinthians were abusing their spiritual gifts. Some were lording their gifts over others and making them feel bad. If you could talk in tongues, then you were to be more righteous than others. And God put that to rest. Some Christians were trying to exercise all their spiritual gifts, even ones that clearly did not possess those gifts. That section ends with Paul saying, "You can strive for the greater gifts, but I will show you a still more excellent way." And then it leads into Corinthians 13. Paul then begins to discuss love, focusing on using God's given gifts properly. Love guides the correct use of freedom for Christians, anticipating eternity. It is the most excellent way. There are four words for love in the Greek during Paul's day. One is eros. Refers to the love inspired by attraction, passion, and desire. Another one is storge, which refers to the love of natural affection, almost instinctive love, the love that a mother may have for their child or a child to their parent, a spouse to a spouse, or even the love you have for a pet. The third is philo, which relates to fondness or friendship. And the fourth type is agape. In this kind of long, loving, lasting, it's about the well-being of others, the well-being of the beloved. The love is willed by the lover's nature, which means it can remain strong even in the most difficult of times. In John 3:16, "For God so loved," agape love, "the world, that he gave his only son." And in John 4:11, "God is love," agape love. The early Christians honored agape as rooted in and reflective of God's love. While the term agape was not used in our literature, in other literature of the time, it appears more than 300 times in the New Testament. A primary reason that Paul wrote this letter to the Corinthian church is because the Corinthian church was a hot mess. The congregation was full of all kinds of drama and sinful behavior that threatened to ruin the witness of the Church of Jesus Christ. This is the context in which we must think about the love passage. Remember, it was written to the Corinthians. It is meant to be a clever correction to the Corinthians church to stop misbehaving. Paul's words in verses 4 through 7, often the definitive portrait of agape. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not exist on its own. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. These verses reinforce all that Paul has said previously, as well as what we heard from Diane last Sunday. Spiritual gifts not offered in agape love, given for the beloved well-being, are really nothing. The Christians of Corinth are attempting to live out their baptism. In chapter 13, as Paul casts his vision towards the Corinthians, he involves childhood imagery in it. Remember when he said, "When I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became an adult, I put an end to the childish ways." The spiritual gifts that the Corinthians had taken so much pride in, finally childish things, as Paul thought, they too will be put away. Paul is seeking the full maturity of adulthood. This kind of agape love may be a motivating factor for reaching out or up for the perfect truth and beauty that is outside this world. Love is not merely an emotion, but an exercise of the will to build up others, even at your own expense. It is far superior to giftedness because it enables us to fulfill God's command for each of us. This agape love is the same love that motivates people to give their lives up to save others. This love is the same love that motivates people to live their lives for others. It is not only present in the warm, fuzzy feelings we get as couples or the infatuation with each other. The love allows two people to remain married for many years, long after the infatuation has worn off. Paul tells the Corinthians three things about the love of God, which they think is just the love of the couple. But God says through Paul, love is essential, it's effective, and it's eternal. That is the message for us, this scripture. Love is essential, effective, and eternal. The love of God is an action. It requires movement, not simply an affectionate feeling. This is the love with which God created us and the love that caused God to sacrifice part of God's self, his Son, to save us. Paul describes this love to the Corinthian church as a remedy for all kinds of sinful spiritual practices. This love is essential to the life of a follower of Jesus. This love is effective for promoting the fruits of the Spirit and pointing the world back to Jesus Christ. This love is eternal. Love lasts longer than this world because we carry this love with us to eternity. This is the kind of love that each of us, each one of us, is called to practice. It is the love on which all the laws of Moses and the prophets hangs upon. It is a love that increases God's righteousness and glory when practiced. Gregory Jones, a Presbyterian minister, tells this story. He says, this is the kind of love that God commands us to practice every day of our lives. Every day of our lives. In one of those articles that zips around the internet, he says, someone sent me a piece on love. A group of professionals asked children between the ages of 4 and 8, what does love mean? Although they were children, their answers weren't childish. In a few words, they were able to grasp key elements of love. One boy said, when someone loves you, the way they say your name is different. You just know that your name is safe in their mouth. Pretty smart. A 6-year-old said, love is when you go out to eat and give somebody most of your French fries without making them give you any of theirs. A 7-year-old said, love is what's in the room with you at Christmas time when you stop opening packages. And this one, he says, is his favorite. It came from a little girl who said, if you want to learn to love better, you should start with someone you hate. The church in Corinth could have used a few of these children's messages to teach them about the power and the necessity of love. Our ability to mature into the people God wants us to become is determined by how well we can extend and receive this love. Make no mistake, the love Paul is talking about here is not passive or fluffy. This kind of love is up at dawn, feet on the ground, tools in your hand, and a working kind of love. It builds communities. It nurtures positive social interaction. Paul's declaration of love unites. Love is the way by which we talk to each other, eat with each other, fellowship together, and affirm all. Love transcends our self-imposed differences and personal biases. It forms whole and holistic people who are anchored in the well-being of others. Love will not let us down if we genuinely live it together. Love is the greatest of these. Amen.